Right, I'm going to begin. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to see the church nice and full. And as you can see, I've brought my board with me, so I'll be painting as well as talking. But first of all, I'm going to read from the first chapter in the New Testament. Interestingly, the big Bible in the front is opened at Matthew chapter 1. I won't read from that Bible, I'll read from my Bible. And we're going to read the whole chapter, Matthew chapter 1. So if you've got a Bible, you could open it up and follow with me. This is what God's Word says. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. And Ram the father of Amminadab. And Amminadab the father of Nahshon. And Nahshon the father of Salmon. And Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon the father of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam the father of Abijah. Abijah the father of Asaph. Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat the father of Joram. Joram the father of Uzziah. And Uzziah the father of Jotham. And Jotham the father of Ahaz. There's lots of fathers. And Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah, Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Eliad, Eliad the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations from David. So the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child in the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and they called him his name Jesus. Let me just pray. Father, we listen to your words, and I pray now that you would take my words and by your Holy Spirit that you would help us to understand the things that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about this. Maybe the clever ones have already worked out some of the words I want to talk about. preparing. That's right. Somebody messed up. I always tell the children, don't check out, just wake it up. Preparing for Christmas. Because in our day and age, here in Britain, there always seems to be so much to do to prepare for Christmas. I was having my hair cut, and the hairdresser said, you know, we're into the silly season because there's so much going on. And I don't know how you're doing in preparing for Christmas. Maybe you've got your tree up. They got the tree up nicely here at the church. Maybe you've got your Christmas card sent, although these days with the cost of postage, we don't send so many Christmas cards. Maybe just send a few e-cards to people or give them around to the neighbors. Maybe you've bought all your presents. Maybe you're super organized and you bought your presents back in September. They're already wrapped and you're all ready. While the rest of us mere mortals, we're sort of running around and we're trying to get things done. But there seems to be so much going on in preparing for Christmas. Well, what we have in the first chapter of the New Testament is a record of God's preparation for Christmas. That's what this is. And if you read the New Testament for the first time, or you were listening to the reading, you might think, well, this just sounds like the Hebrew telephone directory. It's just a whole list of names. It doesn't sound a very exciting way to start the story. Except if you were Jewish, those list of names would be very important. Because to a Jewish person, your family line is very important. But for us, it doesn't seem very exciting. But what it shows us is actually that God, in his preparing for Christmas, had plan. It's good to have a plan, isn't it? When there's lots to do. You know, you make your list, you might even check it twice, but you've got your plan. And so all the things that you need to do to get ready, you sort of, if you're like me anyway, I make a list and I tick off things. And the list of names shows us that God had a plan. And his plan, well, it started before this, but Matthew starts the plan off approximately 2,000 years BC. So if you think you started preparing for Christmas early, think again. Because God's plan started with a man called Abraham. As I said, it started even before that, but Matthew picks up the story with this man, Abraham, 2,000 years, roughly, it will take a few hundred years before Jesus was born. And the only thing that shows me is that God is not in a hurry. So if you're tired of rushing around, just relax for a moment and remind yourself that in God's plan, he's not in a hurry. He doesn't get stressed out like we get stressed out. He's got his plan. He's working out his plan. And even though sometimes to us it might seem to be taking a long time, he's working out his plan. As I said, it starts with Abraham. And then you get this whole list of names of people that follow along the family line of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Him, the father of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, Judah and his brothers. And so it goes on through the generations, hundreds of years. And all the list of those people, we might know something about some of them. Others, they're just names to us. But they had a part in God's plan in history. When we were here for the holiday club in the summer, we talked about God working out his plan in history. He's the God of history. And here we see it in the first chapter of the Bible. God's working out his plan through people in history. And you know, there's some really interesting people. Now, there are people in there that we can read about in the Old Testament, and they were great examples of people who loved God, who trusted God, who lived the sort of lives that we should seek to follow. But none of them were perfect, even the best of them. Take Abraham. He told lies. He lied about his wife, said it was his sister, because he was a bit worried that if they found out it was his wife, he might get killed. So he told lies. And then there was someone down the line, Jacob. He was a thief. He stole things. He stole his brother's blessing by, again, being deceitful, telling a lie. There's another name in there. One of the ladies in the list, Rahab. She was a thief too. She stole other people's husbands. Yes, she did. And then there was David. Now, David, the king, the great king of Israel, he loved God with all his heart, but he too ended up doing some really bad things. He stole somebody else's wife, and then he had that person killed. It says it there in the list that it was Uriah's wife that David ended up marrying, and they had a son, Solomon. And you could go through the whole list. One of them, there's a man there, Manasseh. He was a king too. And do you know what? He was the very worst king in the whole of the history of Israel. In fact, if you were making a list of the baddies of the Bible, the worst people, he'd be at the top of the list. He did so many horrible things. But actually, at the end of his life, he turned to God and said, sorry, God forgive me. And he had a part in God's plan. You know, God's plan didn't stop at Christmas. God's working out his plan in history today. God's plan then was getting ready for that first Christmas when Jesus would come into the world as a baby. God's plan today is getting ready for Jesus coming again to judge the world, to bring in his kingdom, to bring a people to live with him forever. And guess what? You can be a part of God's plan. And maybe you've made mistakes like some of these people that we already mentioned. God can still use you. Maybe you think, well, I've been actually not a very good person. But if you can return to God and say sorry, he will forgive you. And you can have a part in God's plan. So, lesson number one. God's preparation for Christmas. God had a plan. And he used all sorts of people in his plan. Now, along with God working out his plan through the family line of Abraham, God gave, as part of his preparation for Christmas, a promise. So, if we read the scriptures, the Old Testament, as we call it, God's word to Israel, that was, when it was written, it wasn't written in books, it was written on scrolls. They told about the lives of people like Abraham and David and all the others. You will find that all along the way, God gave a promise. Actually, there were a number of promises, but they all grouped together for one big promise that one day God would send someone very special that was called the Messiah or the Christ. It would meant someone who was anointed by God for a special purpose. That promise went back to Abraham. It actually went back even further than Abraham, but again, Matthew starts with Abraham. And God gave a promise to Abraham, I will bless you, I will make you a great nation, all these people, and through you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. And out of that promise, really, the whole of the rest of the Bible comes. The whole of the rest of God's plan comes. That promise to Abraham. That's why we're here. Because we've received that blessing to all peoples. We've got peoples here from lots of different countries, as we know. And we have the blessing that was promised to Abraham. And then, down the line, there was a promise to David. God's promise to David was that his family would be kings after him, and his kingdom would be a kingdom that would last forever. In other words, there would one day be a king that would rule forever. And then also, along with these people that were in the line of God's plan, the family line, God sent prophets. And these were God's messengers who heard from God and gave God's message to the people. And one of the most famous ones was a man called Isaiah. And he lived in the time of the people mentioned in verse 9 in Matthew's list, the time of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah. They were all kings. Isaiah wasn't a king, but he was a prophet. And he spoke during their reigns. And one of his most famous prophecies that he gave, a promise from God, is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And that was a great promise, that one day someone would come and he would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his kingdom, the promise to David, will never come to an end. Wonderful promises. But you know, all of these people, they lived and they didn't see that promise fulfilled. Maybe your mum and dad promised you, if you're good, you'll get something nice for Christmas. And you're waiting. And these people waited, but they didn't receive the promise. They were waiting. But then the time came for God to keep his promise. But as we join the story, as Matthew tells us, we find there is this. You see that? A problem. Now, it wasn't a problem for God, because he knew what was happening. But it was a problem for a man called Joseph. This was his problem. He was engaged to Mary. In fact, they were betrothed, which was bigger than just being engaged. It was almost like being married, but they weren't living together. And then he found that Mary was going to have a baby. But he knew that he was not the father. He thought someone had stolen his wife.
And so he didn't know what to do because he loved Mary and he was a righteous man. He didn't want to make a fuss. He decided to divorce her quietly. And I can imagine him thinking about this problem. And you know, it's at night, isn't it? If you've got a problem, you sort of can't sleep, you lie awake at night. And this is what the Bible tells us. Joseph at night, well, he is asleep, but it's a bit of a fitful night, I'm sure. He's lying in bed. And the Bible tells us that God speaks to him in a dream. I believe that sometimes God speaks to people in dreams today. Perhaps you've heard of stories, particularly of people from Muslim backgrounds who come to Jesus because they've had a dream and God's spoken through a dream. I remember quite a number of years ago, I was in Africa and I was on the missionary ship, the ship where I met Amy, and a man came on the ship. And he wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't going to come and visit our ship because he knew it was a Christian ship. But he came on board and he told us what had happened. The night before, he'd had a dream. And in his dream, he'd heard a voice. And the voice had said this, "The soul that sins shall die." And those are words from the Bible, words of warning from God. The soul that sins will die. And he knew that God was speaking to him. And he knew he had to come to this Christian ship. And he ended up coming to the Christian ship. And he ended up coming to put his trust in Jesus. God can speak through dreams. I'm not saying that's how he usually speaks. But I do know that God speaks. And during Christmas, God speaks, if you read the Bible, to all sorts of people in all sorts of ways. And I think God speaks today. The question is, are you willing to listen to God? Are you too busy this Christmas to hear what God's saying? Because God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to me. So God spoke to Joseph. He had this problem, and in a dream, I think we all know what happened. He saw an angel. The angel Gabriel came to Joseph and spoke to him. And he said, "Joseph, son of David." I like that. There was Joseph from a little place called Nazareth, a carpenter, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, son of the great King David. Joseph, you're someone important. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." God solved the problem for Joseph. He listened to God and did what God says. If we've got problems, I believe God's got the answer if we're willing to listen to him. The angel went on to tell Joseph what had happened. He said, "The baby that is going to be born to Mary has been conceived by the Holy Spirit." And this is what Matthew says. He said, "This happened to fulfill what the Lord had spoken, his promise, to the prophet." And it's the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And what God was saying to Joseph, he was telling him about an amazing secret. The Bible doesn't use the word secret, it uses the word mystery. Something that people didn't understand before, but now God is helping us to understand. And that great secret, that great mystery, was actually that God himself would become a human being. And this was the great present. The last part of God's preparation for Christmas. What it was all building up to, like for many kids, it all builds up to Christmas morning and the presents. Well, this was God's preparing for Christmas. He was all getting ready for that present when that little baby born in a manger would actually be God himself, become a human being. But it didn't end there, because the angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus means God saves. What's the best present we can have? It's not an iPad. That might be a nice present, but that's not what we need the most. It's not more money. We'd all like more money, probably at Christmas. But more money isn't going to solve the world's problems. We can think of all sorts of things. We think, well, if I had this, my life would be so much better. But God gave the thing that we need most. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. The thing that spoils our life, the thing that spoils our world, the thing that spoils so many families, is what the Bible calls sin. And you can have all the money in the world and all the presents in the world, and you still have people fighting, you still have people arguing, you still have people doing all sorts of bad things, because it doesn't solve the problem in the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And God says, my presence will solve that problem. Jesus will come to forgive people's sins. And we know that happened when Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for the wrong things that you and I have done. So if we trust him, we can have God's forgiveness. We can be a part of God's family. We can know his help to solve our problems. And we can be a part of God's plan. And we can enjoy God's promises, looking forward to all that God has for his people in the future. He will save his people from their sins. Are you one of his people? Some of you say, amen. I'm one of his people. I got the present. I'm one of his people. And some of you say, not yet. Not yet. Why wait? You don't have to wait till Christmas Day to get this present. You can be one of his people and be saved from your sin if you'll open your heart to Jesus. What better way to prepare for Christmas than open your heart to the Lord Jesus today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we look in your word and we see so much. We see the key to understanding history. We see help for our problems in our personal life. We see so much to look forward to in the future. And we see your great love in sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. And I pray that no one here would miss out on receiving that great present of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And even today, someone might say, yes, I want this for myself. I want Jesus. I want to know him and follow him. Oh Lord, help each one of us this Christmas not to get too busy, so that we don't hear the things that you want to say to us, and so also that we don't end up putting Jesus on the side of our life, but we keep him in the center. Amen.